Well, I have a question. Let's see. Are any of you, do you give good advice? Anybody? Oh, no, I don't, not very many. Okay. Here we go. Have you ever given good advice and the person didn't take it? Yeah? Okay. All right. Look at the person next to you and say, you should listen to me. All right. Unless it's your spouse. Oh, too late. You're in trouble. All right. I don't want to cause any problems this morning. Yeah, I think we've all given someone advice and thought, man, I wish they would have paid attention. I wish they would have listened. I told them what they needed. And it could be a big thing. It can be a small thing. One time I had a friend, he got a brand new iPhone. He was very excited, you know, because they're expensive and he just got a new one. And I remember I saw it and I just said, hey, you need to get on Amazon and buy a case now. You need a case. And he goes, no, I like it like this. And it is better without a case. I just, you know, it's nice. But he's like, no, I like it like this. I'm just going to keep it. And I was, you should get a case. Well, a few days later, he came back and I saw the cracks all over his screen. It was completely broken and shattered, right? And you know, when you give advice and they don't take it, you get that like kind of split feeling inside. Like part of you is like, yeah, I told you. You know what I mean? It's like, there's that side. And then there's the side of you that's like, oh, they're going through this hurt and you feel bad for them because they didn't have to. Y'all have done this, yeah? Okay, you've given me that. Okay. Sometimes we get good advice and we ignore it, right? We don't. And sometimes, though, we just don't even get the message from people that we're supposed to get. So I was talking to AJ about when he was a student in the youth ministry. AJ is one of those that was leading worship this morning. And when he was a student in the youth ministry, we had a big high school group at the time. And they loved to be together. So they came every Sunday, every Wednesday. And they did stuff outside of youth too. They would go and do things. And he noticed that they would all go and do something and they would never invite him. And so on Sunday or Wednesday, they'd all be friends, and then they would all go out to eat, and he would never get a message to invite, or there'd be a birthday party, and he didn't get invited. And he said it really bothered him because he felt like they were all really close, and why did they never invite me? And it just bothered him, all of that, and then everybody graduated and moved on. And it was 5 years later, okay? 5 years later, he re-downloaded this app called WhatsApp, and it's a messaging app. And he had deleted it at some point. And when he re-downloaded it, this thread came up with dozens and dozens of messages where he was being invited to all of those things. Hey, we're having a party. Do you want to come? Hey, you can come to this. And he was in this group message thread and had no idea all that time. Let's just feel a little bad for AJ for a minute there. All those sad feelings for absolutely nothing. And it was there. He just wasn't receiving it, okay? So now I'm going to do the preacher pivot, okay? And I think that there is sometimes some messages that we're supposed to be getting from God and we're just not receiving them. That he's got some things he's inviting you to, things he wants you to experience in your life, and you are just not receiving them. Now, sometimes we flat out reject them, like, no, I'm not going to do that. And that's the side of it. But also, sometimes he is trying to communicate things with us, things to give us freedom, things to give us hope, things to bring us into a new place, things to restore a marriage, things, all kinds of things he wants to do in us, and we're not getting the message. So today we're going to start looking at a parable that Jesus told that talks about how we can miss the things that God wants to do in us, that he wants to communicate to us through his word, and also we're going to look how that we can counter those things and actually receive them. So this is called the parable of the sower. It is one of the few parables that is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's in all three of those. And it is one of the few parables that Jesus explains the meaning. Sometimes he tells us the parable and then we're just left going, I think. But this one, he makes it really clear. And he even says about this parable that if you can't understand it, you can't understand the others. And so this one's a very important one for us to know and understand. So to begin with, we're going to read the whole parable. And you can handle reading the Bible, okay? We don't have to get tired and sleepy. We can focus on the scripture this morning. It's quite a few verses. So we're going to start with just the telling of the parable. It says, a farmer went to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. Now, I'm just going to point out so that we notice it, that there's going to be four different places that the seed falls, okay? And one of them is the path. That's the first one. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock. That's the second one. And when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, third one, which grew up and it choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than it was sown. So Jesus shares this parable with the audience. And then if you keep reading, you'll see this, that the disciples come at to him later and say, we don't know what that means. We don't get it, Jesus. Okay, please help us understand. And if you've ever read the Bible and go, I don't know what that means. Okay, you are in good company. The 12 disciples didn't always understand, and Jesus was standing right there. Now, luckily for us, Jesus then goes back through the parable and explains how each thing goes. And by the way, using this is a good way when you're reading other parables to understand how Jesus connected things, okay? But we're just gonna look at how he explained it. We're moving to verse 11. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. I'm gonna pause. What is the seed? The word. Yeah, the seed is the word. Let's try it again. What is the seed? The word. Yeah, this is important because I do this with teenagers because I try to help them remember, okay, because we're teenagers, and I've noticed that adults are not really any different, and we all need to learn to remember, and so this is going to be important for this whole series that we understand that the seed is the word, that the seed is the word, okay? Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy, and they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, are choked out by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So it says that a seed on good soil. So what was the seed? Most of us already forgot. No, no, the seed is the word. So I brought some seed this morning. He talks about the seed and what it's supposed to do. It's very little. It's not a very good visual aid, is it? A seed is meant to produce things. Some of you have a garden, you planted a garden, okay? I can't even keep the shrubs in front of my house alive, so I don't try a garden. But some of you have a garden and you planted it to produce things. My grandparents used to always do a garden, and I loved going to their house because they would plant the cherry tomatoes, and I love those. And you would literally go out and just pluck them off, rub them on your shirt, okay, and then eat them, right? And that was it, and it was so good. But the reason they planted the seeds is they wanted something to be produced. They wanted some harvest. They wanted something to come out. And so what we want to see this morning is the seed is meant to produce something. The seed is meant to grow something. The seed brings change. And so let me say it without a metaphor, okay? The word is meant to change something in us, to bring change, to bring hope, to produce what God has for it to produce. And when God wants to change something in your life, that change begins with his word. He's going to use his word to bring the change. He's going to use his word to produce things in you. And so if he sees something that's lacking, if you're lacking hope, you're lacking peace, you're lacking joy, you're lacking self-control, guess what he's going to use? His word is going to be the thing that he plants in us to grow, to help us to have and to experience the things that we're meant to. So I think that you have had some of this before. So if you've been in a church service and thought, I need to change, say yes. Okay, I thought it'd be a few of us, okay? If you have had a friend, a spiritual friend, share something with you and say, God wants you to know this. If that's happened to you, say yes. God will use spiritual people in your life to speak to you, okay? If you have just felt that God just spoke to your heart about some change, say yes. Okay, I'm not going to keep doing this, I promise. I've got one more, though. And this one, okay, I'm not even making you say yes because it should be everybody, and I don't want to make you liars or anything. So if you have ever, you've felt that you needed to change from God's word, from a friend, from God speaking to you, and then you didn't change. I think all of us can relate to that, that we knew that something needed to change. Or even this, okay, we hoped that something could change. There was like, there's this hurt, there's this struggle, there's this problem, and you hoped that that could change, but something kept it from that seed from going into your heart and letting the change happen. And what can happen in our lives is God will want to let change happen or to bring change in our life, and different things will steal it away, will choke it out, will smother it, and keep that word from being productive and doing what it's meant to do. So this morning, I want to look at the first of the three things that keep God's word from growing up and producing what it's supposed to in our life. And we're going to go back now to Luke 8, chapter 5, or verse 5, and see what Jesus said. He said, "A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up." So he talks about seed on a path, okay? And there is the heart that is represented by the path. And so he says that the seed that goes on the path, the problem is, see, it doesn't go down into the soil. So first of all, birds can just come along and eat it up. And that seed is not going to grow. The other thing that happens is it gets smashed, right? It gets trampled and crushed. And when that gets crushed, it's not ever going to grow and produce what it wants to do. And so he tells us about this path type of heart, or this path type of how we respond to God's word. And then he explains it. So let's back to the explanation. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And by the way, we're all receiving. The problem is not the hearing. It's something else. And the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And so here's what happens, okay? Two people can hear the same word from God, can have the same message, and one receive it and have change, and one reject it. So when it comes to salvation, see, two people can hear the same thing. They could be even in the same room and hear that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, that he, if you will put your faith in him, that he will forgive you of your sins and you will have eternal life. And one will be broken in their heart and say, "Oh Lord, I need forgiveness. I know I've done wrong. I believe in you." And they will put their faith in him and be saved. And someone else will hear the same message and go, I don't believe that. And there could be a dozen reasons why, okay? There could be a person that was a Christian that hurt them. There could be some logical thing they can't get over. I just can't believe that. Whatever it is, but there's something that has made their heart unwilling to receive that thing, okay? And so two can hear the same thing but have different reactions to what the word is trying to do. But I have good news, okay? I'm gonna tell you good news, and we'll go back to more of the struggle. God can change hearts. Your heart is not always have to be the way that it is. I mean, I thought about getting like a big tiller this morning and walking that tiller around this stage, okay? And just to illustrate, because you can have a rock hard path and you can go on that thing and you can till that up and you can work it until that ground is ready to be planted on. And so God can soften and change hearts. I've seen it many, many times. A few years ago, this guy was invited to our youth group by a friend, and he came, and at the end of the first service, I'll never forget this conversation, because the service was over and he came up to me and he goes, "I just wanted you to know that I'm an atheist, and is it okay if I keep coming?" And I said, "Yeah, of course, we want you to come." I was like, "Come every time." And sure enough, he just kept coming. And he would just tell me, "You know, I'm an atheist, but he liked the people, okay? He liked the relationships. And so he kept coming and kept coming." And I thought it was so interesting to watch in his life as he would go to camp and fall retreat and different services. And people would be, you know, having things set free from their life, having change happen. And he just watched, never would participate, never would. But also over time, I just watched as that path just kind of got chipped away and changed and softened, and eventually I baptized that kid. And I've seen that happen so many times where a hard heart got softened. And so this is good news for you if your heart is hard. This is good news for you that have friends and loved ones who will not receive the message of Jesus, that their heart can soften. And it may seem like it will never happen, but their heart can soften. And so I want to, this is not going to be the main point, but I just quickly wanted to throw these things to you to help you. If you have a friend or a loved one who's far from God and you feel like every time I try, every time it comes up, they just reject or they push it away, how to help someone with a hard heart. Okay, this is helping a friend or a loved one. Pray for God to soften their heart. You pray for them. Do it regularly. And just believe that God will bring situations. There's all kinds of ways that scripture talks about that a heart will be softened, but God can bring situations in their life to help soften their heart. And I've done this myself. I've had a list of friends I was praying for that God would soften their heart. And so pray for those that are in your life. Be an example of Christ's love. I know that's what worked for that boy, okay? He needed people in his life that just showed him what God was like, that loved him no matter what, and that demonstrated that. And when you do that to people in your life, now you've got to be a good example of Christ's love, okay? We can't be a bad one, but when you're a good example of Christ's love, it softens heart. And just keep planting seeds of faith. And here's why. You never know when that crack is going to open up in their heart to receive. You don't know. I mean, grass is really annoying. You can have a little crack on your sidewalk and grass grows through it, right? It won't grow underneath my tree. That's completely dead. But out here in the middle of the sidewalk, it's growing up, okay? And you don't know when there's going to be just enough space in somebody's heart. So keep sowing seeds in their life of faith and believing in God until you see the change. Pray for them. Be an example to them. But I know that many of you this morning, you are a believer, okay? You follow Christ. You love him and you believe in him. And what I want us to see is we still don't want to let this path attitude get in our heart, and we want to be good soil. Because God is not done producing things in you. He still wants to grow things in you. See, in Bailey's story, we watched a minute ago. Bailey was a Christian when she was struggling. She believed in Christ. But God wasn't done growing. God still had things to do in her. And God has things he wants to do in you. You're a believer. Well, he's not done growing things in you, but if our heart becomes hard to growth, hard to what God wants to say, or if we just don't let him, okay, he won't be able to grow the things in us that he wants. And so I want to be the type of person that God can change, that God can help, that God can do things in. And so we want to be as good soil. We want to be good soil, and we don't want to waste the seed that he gives us. And because what happens so much of the time is that we get this seed, something God is wanting to do, God's word, okay, and we trample on it. We smash it. We waste it. Or honestly, sometimes it's just, we just leave it there on the path. It's not that you're just anti-God's word. We just don't let it come in. We just nothing it, you know, it's just there. And what we need to do is let it in. So I thought it would be helpful just to give some examples, okay, of just some scriptures. Just look at them together, and let's talk about how that two different hearts might could look at them different. So God might want to do something in somebody, and so this verse is shared by a friend, it's shared in a message, and so they read, this is one of my favorites. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, one who is struggling with anxiety may hear that word and go, oh, Lord, I need that. And they go and they choose to, with thanksgiving, go before God and to pray and to seek him and to continue in that. And what happens? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's the second half of that. And what happened was God planted the seed. If you'll come to me in prayer and thanksgiving, and they do that, what is produced? That peace that goes beyond understanding. At the same time, you can hear that same message, that same word, and go, I've prayed before, it didn't really work. And you smash that word that could have changed you. Or maybe it's not even that against it. It's just, I didn't think about it. I go in, I'm living in the anxiety, I'm living in the struggle, and the seed is there, but it's not really something I'm letting get in me. I just leave it. I forgot about it. This is why taking notes is so good, okay? Thank you. I was thinking about this. I don't even remember everything I preach. Y'all know that? You know, it's like sometimes it was a Monday and I'd preached the Wednesday before and his friend said, hey, what'd you preach on Wednesday? And I was like, and I was like, don't ask me that. Okay. And I was like, how do you forget? It's just the way my brain is. But so, you know, I like to write things down so that, you know, when you're going, you might right now, you're not going through something. And then 3 weeks later, you know, when the problem comes, you go, what was that word? And you go and you look at it and you learn to let it change you. You can let it be something that helps or not. Sometimes God wants to bring righteousness, holiness in our life. He wants to get things out of us that aren't supposed to be there. I could have chosen lots of examples, so I chose the most uncomfortable one. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. Now, two people can hear that and have two different reactions. One will hear that and go, oh, Lord, I need to change. I've got some stuff in my life that needs to be out. What I'm doing in this relationship isn't right. What I'm looking at on my phone is not right. And they'll say, I got to get some stuff out because it doesn't belong in me. Someone else may hear the same thing and go, come on, it's 2025, you know? Biblical sexual morality, that's old school. I mean, nobody gets married without living together first anymore. You know, this is just what people do. This is the kind of shows people watch. And we just excuse reasons why I don't need to apply this. And what we miss is God wanted to keep us from a harm. He wanted to keep us from something. He wanted to produce good things, and we ignored his word. And we could use tons of different examples, and I'm sorry if I stepped on your toes. That's just the one I felt like I was supposed to use this morning. But he wants to bring sometimes change. Here's one more example. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, two people can hear that, and one will go, oh, Lord, I need to forgive them. I need to let that go. And there will be some change in their heart as they forgive. And someone else will hear that and go, well, if you knew what they did, you wouldn't even be telling me that. And, you know, it's like, they did so wrong to me, and you're right. You don't forgive people for doing right to you. It's like, thank you for that blessing. You know, I forgive you for giving me. No, you forgive people for the wrongs, right? And here's what this verse wants to do. It wants to bring healing in you. I give you a quick testimony because this was pretty recent. There was a girl in our youth group, and we were in an altar time, in a time of prayer, and we had been talking about forgiveness and healing and things. And she said that she forgave someone that had done some really wrong things to her. And she said what she didn't expect when she forgave was that she had also had severe anxiety and depression for a very, very long time. And she said, I did not know when I forgave them that would go away. And she said, in that moment when she forgave, she left that altar time. She goes, I'm not depressed anymore. I feel totally different. And here's the thing. This word was there for her to receive to produce healing. And God will produce things in your life. He wants to grow things up in you. But if we take his word and then just leave it and ignore it or crush it and let it be trampled on, it cannot produce what it's meant to produce in us. And so I want to be someone that lets God's word do what it's meant to do. I want to be someone that lets it change me and make me new and make me different. So I want to be the good soil. And he said the seed on the good soil stands for the good or the noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. I want his word to produce in me. And I want to just talk about this, retain it. Retain it. To retain it, you have to let it in so that it can stay. And you have to hold on to it. If we take his word and we let it into our heart to produce change, then it can. And we have to keep it there. We can't let it go. We have to keep it and let it do what it's meant to do. So I think one of the maybe most practical passages in the scripture to look at this is in the book of James. By the way, James is a great book if you struggle to understand God's word. It is one of the most practical books. If you're new to the Bible, just go read James a few times. James is Jesus's brother. Now think about that, by the way. Okay, what would it take for you to believe that your brother was the Son of God and worship him? Okay, that's what James did. Okay, he believed his brother, Jesus, was the Son of God, okay, and submitted his life to him. And then the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this book for us. And I think what it says about his word and how we let it change us is super practical. So let's look at that. In James chapter 1, verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Just listening doesn't do the change. There has to be more to it. I don't know if any of you have ever seen one of these workout videos, like P90X. Anybody ever heard of that? Not very much. A couple of the guys are like, yep. or Insanity, T25. There's these different things. So back years ago, I went to Half Price Books and bought myself a set of P90X. It was like a workout DVDs. Essentially what it is you put the DVD in and then there's people on the screen and they do workouts and you do it with them. They're like, go get these kinds of weights, da-da-da. And you do them at the same time. And it's supposed to motivate you to work harder. And can you imagine someone goes and they buy these DVDs, okay? And they put them in. And they sit down on the couch grab some popcorn and watch those people work out. By the oh, that's a good one, yeah. And they do this every day for a month. And they get to the end and they go, well, that didn't work. You would just be like, you are too stupid to help. I don't even know how to do that, okay? Can you imagine somebody that came to church every single week and never let anything change in their life based on what they heard? You would say to them, you are too hard-hearted to help, right? Did you think I'll say something else? No. You need something. Here's the thing. We can't expect to just listen and not do anything different. We can't expect to just hear his word and nothing change. That is the point of his word, is that it's going to bring change. In fact, he keeps going and he says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, all of you pretty much looked in a mirror this morning. Because when you woke up, you know, hair was like this, and there was things that needed to be fixed. And if you didn't look in a mirror, we can tell, all right? No, we go to a mirror because we know things, it's going to show us what needs to change so we can see. And that is what God's word is meant to do. That when we look at it, it shows us things that both that we need to change, and often for me and for you, it is things that could change, things that we need hope again. We don't have the hope that we need to change, and we need to have that hope again. Because some of you have thought, this is just going to be this way, and his word is going to give you hope. In fact, then he says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. I like this, looks intently, because some of you ladies, you have what I call a looks intently mirror. You know what I'm talking about? You got the one side as normal, and you flip it over, and you're like, your pores are like the size of Texas. You know what I'm talking about? That mirror. And unless you, I don't know why you want to look that close. But when it comes to God's word, what we're supposed to do is we need to look intently. And that, so if you're dealing with some struggle in your life, you need to get in it and go, God, what do you say about this? Because if you'll look intently, you'll begin to find freedom in there. You'll find that there's a seed that God has for your heart to set you free from some things. And we need to learn to look intently at it. And finally, he says, not forgetting what we've heard. This is really important, not forgetting. Because we tend to just not think about it. Just forget it. Oh, I can't even remember it. It's about to be football season, and I know a lot of the guys play fantasy football and stuff like that. And some of the ladies are like, oh, okay. And here's the thing I've noticed, okay, with some of the guys around here that do it. I don't, anyways. But they play this, and in the middle of the season, they'll be talking about it. They'll know every quarterback that is out and who's in and what their best receiver's scores are. They know what their anticipated score is for that week and their teammates and who they're playing against. And they know all these stats. And you go, they're dealing with anxiety. And you go, well, what scripture are you believing on for anxiety? Oh, well, I don't really have anything on that. Okay. And here's what I'm trying to say. We can remember stuff if we want to. And we can focus. I mean, some of you, you know, your favorite group puts out their new album and you learn, you're singing those songs in the car. And they, you know, Swifties and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. They know their songs, you know. And you're like, well, the scripture doesn't have a beat though. I need a beat to remember. Well, put a beat to it. I don't know. Like, but what we need to do when we're dealing with stuff, it needs to be in us so we don't forget it. That way we can do this next part. Not forgetting, but doing. And then it says you'll be blessed. And here's that's one of the things he produces is blessings in our life. We can't just forget it and leave it sitting there, but let it do something in us. Let it produce something in us and let it bring the freedom and the things that God has for us. You see, your heart can be hard in an area and he wants to set you free. I just want to say something to some of you who've been a Christian for a really long time, okay? This is just for you decades ones, okay? It can be very easy for us to get used to not changing anymore. Let me tell you how a path forms, okay? If you go out in the grass or out in the field, it forms because it's traveled over and over and over again. It's walked the same plot, the same spot, over and over and over, and it makes a hard place. And what can happen is, if you go to church for a very long time and you're not careful, you come and you have your seat. You're kind of annoyed if somebody takes my seat, right? You come and you have your place and you have your habits and your way of doing church. And eventually you get to a place where you're just so used to coming and sitting through and leaving and God not changing anything that just becomes your pattern. And it's not that you have a hard heart towards God. It's that there's something that's happened in you though that you just don't let God change you anymore. And I want to encourage you to let God's not done with you. You may have been a Christian for 50 years. God's not done with you. He still wants to grow things and produce things in us. But in all of us, though, we need to be ready and willing to let God do things in our life. My burden for this message for you was that I believe that God has things he wants to do in some of you, and your heart has not let him in. You've been struggling with the same pain for a long time, and sometimes we just get used to pain, and you don't realize that there is freedom from that. And I could read you the scripture that talks about your pain, and if your heart won't be open to it, it won't set you free. And that is the thing that hurts me as a pastor, that God will give you freedom from something if you'll let it in, if you'll let it change. So yesterday, it was in this room. I always come before I preach and I pray. I actually prayed over your chair. Isn't that crazy? That's right. I prayed over every chair. And I was like, Lord, what is you're wanting to do in people's hearts? And this is not part of my message, but this scripture just kept coming back to me. And so I want, as I read this scripture, for you to open your heart for what Jesus says to be for you specifically. This is Jesus talking. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. If you have a heart that is hurting, listen, this is the word of God to you. Let it in. He wants to heal your heart. He can even do it this morning if you'll let him. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind and to release the oppressed. If you are burdened by something, he can set you free of that. If you're a prisoner to an addiction and a struggle, he can set you free of that. Will you open your heart up? Let that word grow in you. See, that is something, if you learn to let God's word speak, it'll change you. Let him do that in you this morning. And in a minute, we're gonna take some time to pray at the end of this service. We're gonna sing a worship song together, and we're gonna have time to just let God work in our hearts. And while we do that, I wanna ask you to do something. I want you to just ask the Lord, is there something you want to do in me? Simple question. Lord, is there something you, in fact, you should probably do this every Sunday, but ask the Lord, is there something you want to do in me? And maybe he wants to get something out that doesn't belong. Maybe he wants to put some hope in. He wants to break off some bondages on your heart. He wants to do something. If you'll ask him, and just, if something has already come into your heart, he's ready to do that work right now if you'll let him. And we'll have people to pray for you in a moment. But there's something else that I prayed for as getting ready for this service, and that was that if there is somebody here this morning who has not put their faith in Jesus, and maybe you've even heard before, but it was just difficult to let that in and believe, I prayed that your heart would be open enough to receive it this morning. And so here's the word for you. Jesus loves you. You have me, you and me and the person next to you have one thing in common for sure, and then we all have sin. Like the person next to you is probably really bad. We all have sin, okay? And we all need forgiveness. And Jesus died on the cross to pay for your forgiveness so that you can be forgiven and be saved and have a relationship with the Father. And if you will put your faith in him right now, you will be saved and your life will be changed. And if that is a word that you feel is needed in your heart, in just a moment, I want to pray for you and believe that your life will be changed this morning. So can we just all, I like to do this, can we close our eyes? This is to tune everyone else out. If you're a believer this morning, this is what I'd like to ask you to do right now. Say, God, is there something you want to change in me? Don't let this just be a time when the seed is there and you let it pass by and get eaten. Lord, is there something you want to do in me? And if you are if you do not have a relationship with God this morning and you are ready to put your faith in him, to trust him as your Savior and Lord, I want to pray for you. If that's you, would you lift your hand so I know to pray for you? I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but if you say, I need to give my life to Christ this morning, thank you. Anybody else? I'm going to pray over you, and we're just going to believe God's going to do something in your heart because he had this message just for you. Father God, I just pray for the one who's ready to receive you, God, that you would do a work in their heart, God. Lord, let there be a freedom to know that they are in you, that you've forgiven them and loved them, God. And we thank you for it. And Lord, I pray for all of us this morning that our hearts would be open to receive what you have for us and to live the lives that you have for us. Lord, break off the hardness in our hearts. or our apathy toward your word. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name.